Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's welcome the Eagles' longtime quarterback and, of course, great commentator, Mr. Ron Jaworski. Good morning, Jaws.
Gentlemen, not such a good morning, but great to be with you on a tough Tuesday morning after a rough Monday night.
Sure is. Jaws, can you believe it? I mean, it's been less than 12 hours since that game ended. Can you believe the Eagles lost?
No, I can't. And those are the losses that really linger. You know, there are losses and there are losses. This is one, obviously, for the next few days, we're going to dissect and see why these things happen. But this is a loss that will hang with the players. They had this game flat out won. Should be 2-0 going to a tough stretch of the season to New Orleans and Tampa Bay. And now you're going 1-1 with two really tough games on the road.
Jaws, even when it looked like with 2 minutes left, the Eagles were about to win a game, I felt I was seeing an average Eagles team. I'm curious, as you assess the big picture, do they look so-so to you, or do they look like a quality football team?
Well, they didn't certainly look like a quality football team. You know, there's no doubt of that. This team had so much money invested in the offensive side of the football, I thought they would run up and down the field. And for the most part, they did run up and down the field against that Atlanta defense, even without A.J. Brown and but you can see the impact of the big play just wasn't there with A.J. Brown not on the field. Jalen, I thought, played very, very well until an ill-advised interception late in the game. But right now, this team's got to get its momentum going. There were so many mistakes in play calling and decision-making. And I mean, these bubble screens and smoke. How could we have three offensive linemen downfield? I mean, that shows like the team is ill-prepared and inept. And simple plays like that, they have penalties on plays that a high school team could run. And it's almost shocking to me to see those things happen.
Wow. So it sounds as though you're pointing the finger at the preparation to some degree. How well protected was Jalen?
I thought for the most part, very good. You know, Jalen, he'll wait. You know, his snap to release time or snap to sack time in the first week was the slowest, you know, besides Justin Fields in the National Football League. So he's a guy that's going to stand back there and hold on to the football or move around and try to make a play. But that was not the problem. I thought the offense was good enough. You know, we can always question some decisions, but I thought the offense was good enough to win the game.
So who's most to blame for the loss, Jaws?
Well, hey, Saquon Barkley, that simply got to make that catch. And, I mean, he's a hell of a football player, but this one just got away from him. And, you know, I've looked at that play probably about 20 times already, not on the coach's tape, just on the TV tape. And you can see he kind of moved his eyes, moved his head as the ball was coming to him, just moved his head and lost vision on it. Or else the first down, and we're not talking about a loss. We're talking about an easy win.
Wow. Jaws, do you feel hope that the front four can pick it up, both stopping the run and getting to the quarterback? Or do you think they're in deep trouble this season with what they've got up there?
Man, after watching what Pittsburgh did to the, you know, last week, that Atlanta offensive line, I thought we would have a field day getting pressure on Kirk Cousins. We did not. I'm at a loss for words about this defensive line right now. You know, you're bringing guys like Huff and you start combining them with a number of other good players. The name that we mentioned for a sack was Mill Williams. You know, who would have thought he'd be the guy getting the sack? But, you know, when you look at, Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter, I mean, Bryce Huff in non-existent disappeared. You know, he invested $51 million in the guy. And when they were running right at him. The runs were to the right side. And they were gashing him for 8-10 yards when they ran at him. He was getting hooked. Tight ends were blocking him. I am very much concerned about that defensive line because – now, we all know we don't invest a lot of money in Philadelphia in linebackers, but now when you start getting offensive linemen up on linebackers, that's when you get the big plays.
And, Jaws, so, another one is Nolan Smith. I mean, it's like we don't even think about him because he doesn't even play that much. But, I mean, that was a first-round draft pick. I mean, that's killing him.
Any impact plays from the defensive line?
Yeah, it's not good,
so,
Jaws.
That game was won. I'm still in so much shock to think that we lost that football game. I'm getting ready to do the post-game show And, you know, hey, we got this thing all locked up, and all of a sudden, bang, bang, bang. And the defense comes out there after, you know, we kick a field goal for a six-point lead. It was like 7-on-7. There was no pass rush. Cousins had all kinds of time. Receivers were wide open. It was embarrassing.
Jaws, will this team get better at tackling as the season progresses because they'll get more practice by playing in games and trying to tackle in games?
Joe, John, you know, they don't practice tackling anymore. You know, you don't do that at practice anymore. It's shorts and shells, and you know that's just the way it is. You don't practice tackling. I think the limited number of padded practices you can have throughout the season, so it's hard to get better as the season goes on when yeah. the only time you tackle is in the game.
Ron Jaworski with us, as he is every Tuesday, typically 2 days after a game, but in this case, right after the game last night. Jaws, I want to go through the three big decisions that have come under the microscope post-game, and to a certain extent during the game. And I want to get your assessment one by one in the moment if you thought Sirianni got it right or wrong, or Kellen Moore right or wrong. Not based on the outcome, but based on what you thought before we knew the outcome. Here we go. Number one, first quarter, tie game. It's the second drive. Eagles have moved the ball down the field with Saquon running great. The Eagles have the ball at the Atlanta 9. It's a 4th and 4. Sirianni elects to go for 4th down instead of kick the field goal. Now it turns into an incomplete pass to Goddard. Did you think he should have taken 3 or gone for 4th down?
Well, for me personally, you know, I think coaches make a decision before the game how they're going to play the game. Going to be aggressive, going to take the points. I am a big believer in early in the game taking points. I think when you score points and you run off the field to your sideline, you put something on the board. Now, hey, you might if you get you know, aggressive and get 7, you say, okay, we got 7. But I don't like the feeling of having a good drive to go right down the field and end up with nothing, and that's what happened. And I think that has an effect on a team, particularly on that sideline. Where's the energy? And all of a sudden you had a good drive and you got 0 points.
All right, Charles,
I would take the points.
All right, let's get to number 2. Now, this one's not quite the same. You can't assess it in the moment passing the ball because you don't know they're about to pass the ball. But the decision, 1:46 to go in the game. The Eagles are up 3. It's 3rd and 3 at the Atlanta 10, and it turns into a pass to Saquon. A lot of people are saying you should have never passed the ball. I disagree with that. If he catches it, the game is over. Are you okay with the concept of passing the ball in that moment to Saquon Barkley?
Absolutely. I have no problem with the play call. He was wide open. He got to make that catch. It's that easy. I mean, he's a very good receiver. I mean, I know ESPN comes out during that game and throws some stats out that he would drop more passes over the last 4 years than any running back in the league. But, you know, we saw how he can catch the ball last week when he ran that bow out and gets a touchdown pass. And he can catch the football. He just dropped it. He flat out dropped it. But I have no problem with throwing it there.
All right, Jaws, number 3. It's the next decision. So after the drop, it's 4th down. There's 1:42 to go. Atlanta has no timeouts. You got the ball on the 10-yard line, and it's 4th and 3 from the 10. To kick a field goal or to go for it, which did you think Sirianni should have chosen?
Yeah, I'm okay with kicking a field goal. 6-point lead. They got to score a touchdown to beat us. Unfortunately, our defense just fell apart in the last drive. I have no problem with the decision, making it a 6-point lead and make them go the length of the field, make them go 70 yards. Against a defense that should have stopped him, but didn't.
Jaws, I agree. One final thing, Jaws, and people probably aren't too in the mood to spin it ahead 5 days from now, but while we have you here, let's just talk Eagles New Orleans for one moment. You know, one of the concerns with last night is it might be a pathway to a 1-2 start because New Orleans looks really good. How good are they? How big is this challenge for the Eagles in 5 days?
Well, you know, I watched a game against the Dallas Cowboys, and their offense was unbelievable. They put, 49 in week one. They scored, 92 points or something in 2 games. Derek Carr wow. is a serviceable quarterback. Alvin Kamara is one of the best backs in the league. They have a rock-solid offensive line. Now this, you know, these next 2 games are really – you're playing against 2 teams that are undefeated right now. No one saw the Saints 2-0 or the Buccaneers 2-0. Now we're going to go on the road at a tough time of the year. These are going to be 2 tough games, but –
These are 2 really smart quarterbacks, aren't they, Jaws? Like top of the heap in terms of knowing what to do, where to go with the football, understanding what a defense is trying to do to them.
You know, both veteran quarterbacks that have had their ups and downs in their careers, but it shows, you know, how they've grown, they've gotten better. I'm thinking Baker Mayfield. You know, he was a journeyman quarterback. You know, a couple years ago, he played on 3 teams in 1 season.
Wow.
3 teams in 1 season. Nobody wanted the guy. Look at how well he's playing right now. Derek Carr has been a guy that, you know, when he was out with the Raiders, was a guy that was going to be a superstar. It didn't work out for him there. But if you look at the Saints last year, second half of the season, they were coming on strong. So I'm not really surprised. These are veteran quarterbacks that are well coached.
Jaws, listen. Let's hope next week they're not 1-2 when we talk to you. That's a big game. Thanks for being.
I do not want to talk about these losses. That one really, really hurt last night, gentlemen and ladies.
It did. I agree with you 1,000,000%. Jaws, stay well, buddy. Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you.
You got it, my man.